Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. If you haven't signed up to be an InvestTalk insider, we kind of wonder why. Really, it doesn't cost anything, and there's something for everyone who wants to improve their money management skills. Check out our info sheet on diversification. It's yours free with your insider membership, which also gives you access to our recorded webinars. Anybody can sign up for free. Just go to investtalk.com. End of commercial, and now today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of InvestTalk. It is December 20th, 2016. The year is rapidly running out. And, of course, we always talk about above-average investing for the average investor. That's the goal of the show, to get you to be a better investor. Today, 2017 promises to be a year of change for retirement accounts. More automation, regulation. That's what it's going to be. The 401ks. We're talking about the 401k, how it's going to change in 2017. That's going to be one of our main talking points. And you know, we talk about money, money management from time to time. We earn it until we draw it out, right? We earn the money. We can talk about insurance, reverse mortgages, how best to fund college for kids and grandkids. We get into many stocks, many questions about stocks, but it's all about how much money you have and how much you can draw it out in retirement. And when we talk about the stock market, we're really including all the world markets these days. It's a term for stock exchanges around the world. Here in the U.S., we have the New York Stock Exchange, American Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ. In the U.K., it's a London Exchange. In Germany, there's the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. Put it in simple, a stock market is just a convenient place for people to buy and sell ownership in companies. Pieces of companies. That's it. It's for convenience, all these exchanges. It's been historically a pretty reliable place to buy and sell stocks, to place your investment or place your money on a company or buy a piece of a company you think is going to do well. But in the short term, all these exchanges can be very volatile. From day to day, it could be like a spoiled child, throwing tantrums and one day just shooting down, next day shooting up. It's just like you just don't know. Long term, it all boils down to earnings and sales and economic growth. So I get a lot of questions about the best place to invest, where I should put my money. Well, you know, should you subscribe to newsletters or how? I've got a number of questions about that this morning, about people subscribing to newsletters and not saying they're not working very good. That's why I keep telling you, really want to do your own homework. I understand it'd be easy just to have someone tell you to buy this stock or sell that stock, but that generally doesn't work because they're not going to tell you for nothing, and if they're really, really good at it, they're going to do it themselves for themselves or for a high net worth clients who can pay them a big fee to tell them what to buy. They're not going to tell you in a newsletter, this is how you make money. They're selling the newsletter. That's where they're making their money. You know, I love these, you know, companies that say you can just use charts and you can buy low and sell high and it works and everybody makes money. If that was true, they wouldn't be selling you the tapes or the classes. They just do it themselves and make all the money. Why are they selling stuff to you when it makes no sense? Step back and look at it. You have to do your own homework. It's not rocket science. It's not. That doesn't mean you don't hire professional help. Of course you do, but you're going to have to pay for it. I hate to tell you that. And sometimes you pay for stuff and they still don't help you. So be very careful. Be very careful out there. There's so many scams and people that are very nice or friendly and they're scammers. They are. You got to be careful. So be very, you know, one rule, if someone is soliciting you via the telephone or sending you emails and they're just out of the blue, be very, very skeptical of that. Anyways, that's my And I'm talking about my own industry. You notice that? I'm talking about my own industry. Because, you know, there's just some bad apples that make it bad for the rest of us. So anyways, how can I help you on today's show? 888-99-CHART is our number. 888-99-CHART. You can call it anytime you want. We're going to answer some questions.
Hey, Steve or Justin. I listen to you guys on podcast. I had a question about fundamentals stocks. I'd like to know your opinion on what is the difference between book value and tangible book value. And then also, if you can explain on the fundamentals price to sales. I listen to you guys on the podcast. Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Well, this day and age, it used to be a lot. Everything in the old days was pretty much tangible, okay? Meaning you owned a factory, you owned the building, you owned the property, you owned the widgets you made. Tangible, things you could touch. How much is that stuff worth? Intangibles are like brand names. What's Coca-Cola's brand name worth? Just because it's Coca-Cola. When you buy another company and you buy the goodwill, that's not tangible. That's the difference between tangible book value and book value. Now, as far as price to sales means the price of the stock and how much sales they're doing per share. Okay, and we like to buy, ideally 4 to 5 or, four or five price to sales ratio, where they're selling 4 or 5 times sales than there are the price of the stock per share. Some people like higher, some people like lower, but it's one of many good ratios to look at, but not the only one, please. Depends on the company and what they do. I wish it was that easy. It's not. It's just not. Someone asked me an email this morning, the 5-year range of PE ratio, and they're trying to buy the low range of the 5-year range, and is that a good way to value stocks? And the answer is no, because that has nothing to do with value in stocks, buying and selling at the low and high PE ratio of the PE ratio. That only tells you that the stock is selling at a price to earnings ratio, high or low, in relationship to its own history. But what if its own history has been very high? Even the low is high. See, it doesn't tell you the value of the stock. Anyways, how your 401k plan will change in 2017. That's one of our main talking points today. For Trump economics to work, the rest of the world has to start doing something. We're going to talk about that, especially EU and Asia. There's going to be issues with Trumponomics. It's not going to work. It's going to have to have some help. Apartment building may be running out of steam. Finally, we see some. Now I'm going to go over some numbers with you. And don't buy these things in 2017. I'm going to give you a short list of things that you shouldn't buy in 2017. That's what we're going to talk about. Of course, it's all about what you want to talk about, not me. So you make a call, and we'll talk about what's on your mind. The Dow was up again to 91 points today. The NASDAQ up 26 and S&P up 8. I think, we're 25, 40 points away from Dow 20,000. And it's absolutely meaningless, everybody. You know what it means? It means that the news people like to talk about it. That's what it means. But there's really no magic about being Dow 20,000. There is none. And I told you before last week, 1,000 points of this recent run-up is Goldman Sachs. You got to remember, it's only 30 stocks. 30 stocks on the Dow, 30 big companies. And what if one big company, one of them, that's high-priced, like Goldman Sachs at $243, it runs up really sharply? What? Well, that influences the Dow dramatically, 1,000 points. See, so, don't least looking at the Dow. It's good. It's okay to be seeing what's happening with it, but don't putting all this stress on Dow 20,000 like it's some big deal, and it's not. That's what worries me, is everybody focuses on, it's a big deal. No, it's not. Mm-mm. It's a big deal because the news media wants to make it a big deal. But for professionals, we could care less. Care less. And so should you. This is Invest Talk. Remember, we're not all stocks and bonds. Maybe we can help you make a better decision about life insurance or liability coverage. An umbrella policy. You know what an umbrella policy is? Do you have one? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. That's our Invest Talk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, listener line.
Hey, my name's Kate, and I was just calling with a question for you guys. I love your show. I work for a company, and I was interested in maybe buying some of their stock, but I wanted to know what you thought about it. It's Envision Healthcare. EVHC is the symbol, and I just wanted to know what you guys thought about the company. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, it's a $12 billion company, so it's a large cap company. It provides physician-led outsourced medical services in the U.S. with more than 20,000 affiliated clinics. Pretty good size. It's been buying. It recently announced it bought Desert Mountain Consultants in there. So it's been buying. One of the ways it's growing is buying. And it's been growing about 20% a quarter for many, many, many quarters. Earnings are going to be $4.30 this year. And it's up big from the year before, but that's kind of misleading because of the purchase. But it's going to go up to $4.90 next year. It's a $65 stock. So, what is that worth? What's the PE ratio? What's the price to sales ratio? What's all those numbers? And I'll tell you, from a PE ratio, that's pretty low for them at growth of 20%. And the stock has not done that well, even with Trumponomics since he's come on board, since he's been elected, I should say. It hasn't really done that well, but it is looking pretty reasonably priced. One of the little red flags I see here is they have a lot of debt. They're probably borrowing money to acquire, and that's how they're getting the growth. So you got to take a look at that debt and say, well, how much is that long term, and how much is that going to hurt them going forward? Because rates are going up. Have gone up already. If they have to refinance debt, or if they're going to continue financing their expansion by debt, it's going to cost them more and more and more money. So from a value point of view, it looks pretty good. And about where it is a good price to buy. If it holds here around $65, again, it's $65.11 right now, this would be a good place for it to find a lot of support. Looks like there's a lot of support. Can go all the way down to $58, $59, which is another pretty strong support. That was the low, and that would be a double bottom down there. So we'll see. So a pretty decent company, except the debt worries me. That just kind of concerns me as a debt, only because interest rates are rising, and I know they're going to have more cost to deal with. That's Envision Healthcare, EVHC. E-V as in Victor, H as in Henry, C as in Cat. We're going to talk about a number of issues today. One of them is going to be the changes to 401ks, of the government changes the next year. And I want to talk about Trump economics and why it won't work unless he gets some help from outside the country. It just won't work. Now, when I say that, he's targeting like 4% GDP growth. That's pretty ambitious. And to get there, he can't do it alone by what his policy changes are going to do. I don't think it can happen. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to explain why. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART to talk live between 4 and 5 Pacific time, because we're always live that time, Monday through Friday. 888-992-4278 is the number. So let's hear from you. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Daniel in Palo Alto. How you doing, Daniel?
Hi, Steve. Great. Thank you. Talk to you. Listen to you on 1220 every day religiously. Just had a quick question about a specific stock, but also generally you speak a lot about value versus growth, and this might be the value year. And I'm just wondering if you could give some examples, not necessarily from your portfolios of stocks in each category, and I just bought a stock name, stock symbol STEIN, and I have no idea whether it's a value or a growth, and just wonder what you thought about it, if you have time for that specific one, but generally wanted you just to tell us about value stocks.
Okay. What was the symbol again? SPIN or?
STEIN. It's a Steinmart. It's a discount clothier for high-end.
Right.
High-end merchandise.
Yeah, got it. Steinmart. Okay, value versus growth. The reason being, we've been suggesting value of recent months is because we're observing that value has been working better in 2016, has worked much better in 2016 than growth. And we feel that there's been a handoff for value stocks from growth stocks, because usually growth stocks do very well coming out of recession, the economy starting to grow again, and therefore earnings are starting to grow. But earnings are not really growing very much now. Now, they may pick up with Trumponomics, who knows, but that's not going to be for a while. So I feel we
what
feel.
What makes it a growth stock?
Okay, growth stock is where you can. There's certain hallmarks to identify a growth stock. Usually, it's high growth of sales, you know, more than 10 or 15%. I can't give you a hard and fast rule because some are high growth 100%. Depends on the technology. Depends on what industry. They usually a hallmark is usually high growth of sales, usually a higher PE ratio, price to earnings ratio. And usually a very good story that everybody's all excited about. Whereas a value stock, it's a low PE, not a lot of growth, tends to pay dividends, tends to be very steady, very boring. That's generally the difference. Okay?
Okay.
Boring stocks are probably going to do better than your Teslas and your Netflix and your, you know, things that have always been in the news, everybody just loves to hear about. You know,
I see. Those are growth.
Those are all growth stocks.
Whereas, I see. Apple, Google. Okay.
Yeah. You hear about Google and Facebook and, oh, great. They're doing so great. Well, what's not a growth stock? Oh, Procter & Gamble and Johnson & Johnson. Icky. Who wants those? Walmart. Boring. You know what I mean? That's the difference. Okay?
Okay. I think I kept getting it. Yes, sir.
Thanks, Daniel. I appreciate it. Yeah, usually your value stocks could be a high-growing company, though. See, that's why I can't give you hard and fast rules. It's just that maybe it's so, the high-growing company has been so beaten up that no one likes it anymore, but it's still growing nicely. But no one likes it, and therefore it's become a value play, a value investment. Okay? Let's talk about 401ks. Let's talk about what's going to change in 2017. And there's not a lot of changes, just so you know. You're going to see a lot more, auto enrollment in 401ks. In other words, you go work for somebody, you're already in the 401k program. They're already, set it up for you, and you don't have to do anything except start contributing. So that's going to get a lot more popular this next year and the years ahead. Your 401k will have more help in it, and like robo-advisors, different kinds of automatic help inside the 401k. I'm not saying it's good health. I'm just saying there's going to be more help. Before, you there's absolutely no help. You had to do everything on your own. But now you can sign up. Many of them are giving you automatic professional help inside the 401k. Much of it is digital. In other words, just kind of automatic. You pick something. They ask you questions, how aggressive, and then they just invest without really, you know, you're getting much more involved. And one of the changes that's kind of already taken place, but it's going to be more and more impactful in 2017, is the government's fiduciary rule changed. Remember we talked about that months ago almost a year, they got to put the client, you, first. Well, that was always supposed to be the rule, but they boiled that rule down to what they called suitability, the suitability rule. It was suitable for you, even though it makes them lots of commissions. But it's still suitable, therefore I'm following the rules. Now they got to put you first. It's what's best for you, not what's best for them. You know, and they can't even have a hint of putting themselves first. And so they have to now, they meaning investment advisors and brokers, they have to explain, why did you buy them this high commissioned investment when this one over here does the same thing as a low commissioned investment? Well, you really can't explain that, right? When it was a suitable rule, it was suitable for you. That's it. It was suitable, therefore it's done. Now that changed, which I think is a great, great change, really. We're open to your money questions and comments, 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through right now. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. We're at the halfway point. There's plenty of time left. Give us a call. This is InvestTalk.
We thank you for subscribing to the podcast. If you're looking for a gift idea for a family member who shows an interest in finance or investing, you can see an extensive list of books selected personally by Steve and Justin. Visit our recommended book section on investtalk.com, and you can then purchase, if you like, directly from Amazon. And now we continue with InvestTalk. This is InvestTalk for Tuesday, December 20th. Whether you manage your own money or hire a professional advisor, it is important to understand the investment strategy, your investment strategy. Do you really understand it? That's one of our talking points next time. For right now, Steve wants to hear what's on your mind. 888-99-CHART.
Chart, that's our number. Mike in San Jose, how you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you, Steve. I was wondering if you can take a look at FCX and thinking about buying it. What would you recommend?
Actually, I think it's probably a good pullback. We've had a nice little, it had a big run, as you know, from low on October, ran up from, what was it, $10 or so? Yeah, $10 to 16.5, then now it's down to 14, 13.5, 14, and it ended today at $14.16. So I think, you know, this might be a good entry point. They're going to make $1.33 next year, and it's a $14 stock. I think this would be your entry point if you're going to try to buy this stock. Of course, I could be totally wrong, Mike, and it could go down and retest that $10.50 area, and that would be very, very painful. But I don't think it's going to do. It's come. Why did it come down?
Support and resistance on that, please.
Well, I just gave you. It's right now. Right now, as support, it hit support about 1350. Okay, and then bounced off of it. So that's where it just came in and it had a nice update. Then the reason why it fell from 16 down to 1350 because the dollar keeps getting stronger, and I can't see the dollar. You know, long-term, the dollar is going to stay strong. But it had such a strong move, I think it's going to give back some of that. Okay, Mike? And if the dollar goes down, gold goes up.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Let's go to Chase in New York. How you doing, Chase?
Hey, good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask you about Holisys Automation Tech.
Okay.
Well, it looks like it has like pretty good support right around 1850, and I thought maybe it might be a good time to pick it up. I just want to get your thoughts on it.
You're correct on the support. It's pretty good support right around 1850 or so. And Holisys Automation Tech is a $1.1 billion company, manufactures and distributes industrial automation and control systems in China. And it's a Chinese company. There's where your risk is, Chase, China.
Right.
Okay, so long as you know that's where the risk is, they're going to make $2.13 next year and $2.33 the year after, 2018. At an $18 stock, that looks really, really inexpensive. Okay? But it should be inexpensive because you're always suspect of Chinese stocks.
Right.
Not that they're lying, but they could be, and it's easy to hide from us. They're supposed to, since they're traded on our exchange here in the United States, they're supposed to have report all their numbers using GAAP, General Accounting Principles. But our own companies sometimes lie. So You don't think a foreign company can lie to? So, yeah. Right. But it does look, if you just look at the numbers and look at the company, you say, you know, this is a pretty good place to buy this company right in here. So, yes.
Yeah.
Good luck with it.
Okay.
I hope it works.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Again, you got to be, you always want to have, when you put on a Chinese company, have a big grain of salt. You should have some doubts in your mind. And therefore, you go in with your eyes open as far as this is pretty risky. Okay? That's all that matters. So, therefore, you want extra low valuations because you're already taking a big risk. Okay? That's all I'm saying. For Trump economics to work, the rest of the world has to help. Now, Trump is targeting about 4% GDP. I hope he makes it. Well, let's all hope so. And he's doing this he's targeting this by making three major changes, okay? First, he wants infrastructure spending. He says he's going to reduce taxes, and he's going to deregulate. And he has a Republican House and Senate, which means that he can get a lot of this done if they support him. Okay? And so the market thinks it might work. But if he doesn't have the EU and Asia on the same page, it's not going to work. Why do I say that? Because the Federal Reserve also sees what Trumpism is going to do, and they want to raise rates because they want to fight the next recession. So if Trumpism does work, or starts to work, or it gets these laws passed to make to implement these things, the Fed is going to be interested in raising rates. If that happens, look what happens. What's happened already to the dollar just by him talking about this. The dollar has gone up. Why would that be a worry? Well, that. None of these foreign EU and no one in EU is spending much money on infrastructure. It's all about easy money like our QE, right? So what will happen to investors and banks if our dollar is stronger and theirs is weaker? Aren't they gonna have our float money to here to invest here? In other words, not in their own economies here in the U.S. So the dollar the dollar gets even stronger. And it gets stronger. Well, why is that a problem? Well, that means their economy is not going to pick up. Our dollar is getting stronger, so our companies who export to them can't export. Imports will come in cheaper. It's not a good economic story. So that's why you need the rest of the world to stop doing their QE. Stop and do what we are doing, and they're always way behind us. What we're doing is we're going to reduce taxes. Do you think EU is going to reduce taxes? Do you think that's going to happen in China? Okay, we reduce taxes. Okay, deregulate. Deregulate? No, EU regulates more and more and more. They don't even talk about deregulation. Think China's going to deregulate? Do you think any place else? Okay, what's the third thing that he's going to do? Infrastructure spending. They could do that, but they're not doing it. China's already done it to such an extent they don't need more. They're way over infrastructure spent already. So, what are they going to do? For Trump economics to work and then get to 4% GDP, you kind of need to have the whole world growing to some degree. Not shrinking, growing. And that's not what's happening. And that may not happen. It could, but it may not. Therefore, Trump won't get what he wants. He won't get that 4% growth. I think he'll increase GDP growth next year, maybe 2.5%, 3%. If we get to 3%, that'd be great. 4%? I think that's kind of asking too much. What's in it for insiders? Become an InvestTalk insider and find out. One thing, webinars. You'll have access to a whole library of webinars that you can play anytime you want. And our new webinar is going to be on there within the next week or so. These are hour-long, in-depth looks at various topics, profiting in a rising interest rate environment. It's all free, never a charge for any useful information or content. If you're an InvestTalk insider, it's easy. All you do is sign up. Just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab.
We have an award-winning system that helps you determine your optimum level of risk. But just as important, it can tell you if your current portfolio is exposing you to too much risk or maybe not enough. You may find that your current investments are too conservative, that you should be taking more risk because of your age, temperament, or life situation. Give it a try right now. It's our free risk analysis tool on InvestTalk.com.
Well, hi, Steve and Justin. Thank you for all that you guys do on the podcast. I really enjoy listening to it. I had a question about the company that manages my 401k, Roth and IRA. The company's called AXA. And I recently had learned that there's a 5-year surrender period on all three accounts. And I only found out because I had asked about it. So my question is, should they have been forthcoming with this information? If that's not the case, is there any type of documentation I should look for that specifies the surrender period? Okay, thank you very much. Bye now.
I have never heard of that. I don't know if that's true or not. You have a 401k. If I'm understanding you correctly, you have a 401k, and you're saying they have a 5-year period in which you can exit a position, one of the mutual funds. I don't think so. Okay, so the other thing that could be, they have a 5-year period in which you can roll out of your 401k once you leave the company. That's not true at all. You can roll that over into an IRA. And I've never heard of that kind of length of time. I've heard of holding periods of 30 to 90 days, 180 days of a mutual fund, but usually they don't apply to a 401k. So I'm not sure what you're referring to, but it doesn't sound right. Now, of course, I don't know all the ins and outs and the facts of the situation, but it doesn't sound logical. I've never heard of it. So something's right. Give me a call or send me an email. Maybe we can talk and I get some more information and try to ferret out what we're dealing with here. Okay? That's interesting. I had an email from Brian in Virginia. I'm interested in getting back into Under Armour. They have a new symbol, UAA. It has been hovering around $30, $32 for a while now, and it still appears to be a little expensive. I would love to hear your thoughts on what a good entry point. I'm also curious as to the difference between Class A and Class C shares that they offer. And he wants to know, besides the voting rights, does it make sense to only pick up the Class A shares? No, it doesn't really matter, A shares or C shares. And almost all the time, the reason why a company will have two classes of shares is the voting rights. So what they're saying is you don't, you buy a certain class of shares, you don't get the vote as to who's a CEO or anything else. You have no voting rights. So, but it usually doesn't matter really to you as an investor, now unless you want the voting rights. So that's about the only difference there is. There's sometimes they pay different dividends. There's other things, but generally it's just the voting rights. UAA, Under Armour, is it overvalued? Well, it's going to make 69 cents next year. It's a $30 stock, so there's no way you can look at this and say it's not overvalued. The growth rate is 20 to 25%. That's why it is expensive. And it's been 20 to 25% for 2 years, every quarter, 20 to 25% growth. And that's why that steady growth rate over that period of time earns it a high PE range. For instance, the 5-year range for this Under Armour, the low is 35, the high is 108. The low PE, well, the average market PE is 15. This one is 35. So remember we talked earlier in the show about, I got an email that said that I like to buy the low of the range of the PE, and is that a good value? No, it's not necessarily a good value based solely on the PE range, because it could be high like this one. The range is high. What if growth starts to go to 15% from 22? The day that they announce a quarterly growth of 15%, the stock is going to get hit hard down because they've been averaging over 20% for years. And see, then that would be a surprise and a disappointment, and now it will trade down closer to a normal P range of the market. That means the stock is heading down. So I'm not saying that's happening with Under Armour. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying if that happened, that's what would happen. And this is a hallmark of a growth stock. This Under Armour is a growth stock, not a value stock. Growth stock. I'm getting all kinds of lessons in today. Anyways, I appreciate the call. Appreciate the question, Brian. Thank you. Do I have time for the caller? Whether you're a beginner or experienced, you can call anytime. 888-99-CHARTERS, our anytime number.
Hey, Steve, Justin. This is Brian Wood. I'm a podcast listener in Atlanta, Georgia. I've got a position in a stock I'd like your opinion on. It seems like it's had a real good run-up lately, but got some questions about the looks like the PE's out of whack to me. The company is Vulcan Materials, Vector Mary Charlie, BMC. Appreciate your opinion. Thanks.
Okay, let's take a look at it. Vulcan Materials. Let me put up a chart, too. I want to see that as well. VMC. Okay, produces construction aggregates, asphalt mix, and ready mix concrete for the construction and paving industry. It's a $16.5 billion company, and I can tell you right now that I like the industry. Why do I like the industry? Because Trump Economics says he's going to spend money on infrastructure. And this company produces construction aggregates, asphalt mix, ready mix concrete, and construction paving industries. So I think that this is a sector, this particular kind of stock may benefit from his change, from what he's doing. Now, it's interesting to look at the stock spiked when Trump got elected, spiked up. It was a change from $117, went to $137. Now it's back to $125. It's going to make $4.27 next year after making $3.03 this year. That's a 40% increase after already increasing from 2015 to 2016, 40%. So 2 years in a row, earnings have gone up 40%. Pretty darn good. Now, $4.27 into $125, what kind of PE does that give you? Okay, so that gives you like a 30 PE. And recent sales have fallen. The most recent quarter sales were down 3%. Before that, they were growing 7 to 20%. But see, remember, you got to look in the windshield, not the rearview mirror. I think this is a good stock to buy, and a pullback is an opportunity. You're listening to InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Lucy in San Francisco. How are you doing, Lucy?
Hi, I'm doing fine. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Because the stock market, Dow Jones, already going to be maybe 20,000 points.
Yes.
I don't know if it's a good time. I'm looking at ETF. The name is SLYG.
Okay, that's the S&P 600 Small Growth Index.
Right.
Okay, so that's what it's tracking, exchange traded fund tracking the small cap 600 growth index. I think you do not buy it here, Lucy. I think it's run up too much. I think you wait for the pullback. You will have a pullback. It's just when. And that's the problem. I don't have a crystal ball. I just know that things are overvalued, and I'd rather not be in growth stocks, and this is a growth index. I'd rather be in the value index.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say no on this and wait for the pullback. Not that there's anything wrong with it. It's just not the time, in my opinion. It's made too much of a big move. In the last 2 months, just too much.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. But I like you said, we don't know when it will be a pullback.
We don't.
Do you think the pullback will be a big pullback or just tiny small one?
I think it'll be more of a regular pullback, probably close to 10%, in my opinion. Maybe between 5 and 10%. See, I think if we get a pullback, Lucy, I think everybody who's been sitting on the sidelines, and there's a lot of money on the sidelines, who has missed this run up, will start buying. Will start buying as soon as they get a little pullback. So
okay.
I don't think it's going to be that big. I don't.
No. All right.
Okay.
So I'm waiting then.
I would.
Thank you for, what you're telling me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lucy. I appreciate the call. And the symbol was S-L-Y-G. S-L-Y-G. Apartment buildings may have been run out of steam. How do we know that? You know what absorption rate is? Absorption rate. That rate is falling. And that's when what they do is they count 3 months after apartment building is completed, how much have been rented. Okay, the absorption rate in 2015, not this year, last year, the absorption rate was 66% of the apartments were rented after 3 months on the market. This year, it has dropped to 58%. Okay, so what we're seeing is, and that probably number is not final, obviously, because we're not finished with the year, but so what we're seeing is less and less apartments. And that has been reflected in the apartment building. Multifamily units in 2016, the starts of construction of multifamily units, is down 4% from 2015, while at the same time, single-family units from 2015 to 2016 is up 11%. So there's a shift away from apartments and into single-family units. Isn't that interesting? See, I bring you all these interesting points. Of course, I find it interesting. I don't know if everybody else does. I hope you do. Okay, and what not to buy in 2017? The first thing on my list is, do you ever get those things or buy those things where you get deliveries once a month for every month for the year? Don't do that. No one likes those things. I can't think of anybody who likes them or wants them, and you certainly don't want them. I don't want them. Don't buy those. Also, don't buy a timeshare. You don't realize how many horror stories I hear talking to clients and prospective clients about timeshares. People eventually hate them, want to get out of them, and it's just nothing but a pain. And they really get upset when they have to keep paying maintenance fees, and the maintenance fees go up and up and up and up, and they're not even using the place. Okay. Earbud earphones. You know those little things you stick in your ears with wires. Don't buy one of those. Don't. Go with wireless and go with headphones. Everybody's going to go that way. Trust me, you're going to have old stuff. Don't buy a smart refrigerator. They're the hot thing in 2016. No one uses them the way they're, that technology. Smart refrigerator. So you don't have to open up the refrigerator and look in and it automatically orders your food? No. Don't worry. Okay, I guess that's it for now. I got a couple more, but I don't have the time. Our time is up for this hour. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Justin Klein and I, along with everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. Please join us for our next session, which will be tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.